All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? It's your boy, Jeremy Brenner, talking more Rockets basketball following a 115-89 loss to the Phoenix Suns. I'm not alone tonight. I've got my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown. I'm sure he's got a lot to say, but Mike, welcome back. It's good to be talking with you, but initial thoughts on this loss?
Quick thoughts. It's pathetic. Dude, it's just bad. It's almost at a point now where you're just like, you can't continue to harp on the same things because the fans just don't care at this point. And they shouldn't, Jeremy. Like, rational fans, you're going to pay to go watch this team, this coaching staff, like, to do what? To make the same stupid mistakes over and over and over again. Like, do you want to start the show again with the fact that KPJ dribbles the ball too damn much? Six more turnovers for him. You want to talk about the fact that Christian Wood running the offense through him at the three-point line makes no sense for anybody. In the first and second quarter, he got everything he wanted in the lane. Why is he continuing to go to the three-point line? You want to continue to talk about the fact that Jalen Green's three-point shot is completely broken, like it has been since the beginning of the season? You want to talk about rotations and how Silas can't, again, run a rotation? Why is Tate playing 21 minutes? Why is Daniel House getting 20 minutes and playing the vast majority of a fourth quarter that doesn't mean anything? He doesn't play David Nwaba in the second quarter when he typically runs with the second unit. Why is he only playing in the fourth quarter? It's the same crap over and over and over again,
Well, not necessarily the same crap over and over again. Tonight, I think tonight you saw that. And look, the whole thing with Jayshon Tate getting 21 minutes, you know, when there is garbage time, it's really hard to look at minutes and use that as an accurate representation for what the minutes, you know, allocation should look like. But I guess in terms of, like not playing Nwaba until late, I think maybe he was just simply looking for something new. Maybe that was part of it. You know, he played Josh Christopher ahead of Nwaba, and you know, whether or not that was the right decision is, you know, it really doesn't matter. Look, that would not have changed the outcome of this game tonight. Nothing would have really changed the outcome of this game. Look, the Rockets played a really good team tonight in Phoenix. I think that's something that is important to point out here. The Suns have now won 8 in a row. I believe it's the longest streak they've had since they were in the bubble. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I mean, 8-game win streak is, you know, very, very impressive, and they are one of the best teams in the NBA. But let's not just you know, forget that part of this whole shenanigan tonight. But I think in terms of just tonight, Jalen's shot is something that he's just going to have to pick up. I really don't see how there's much of a fix for that other than he's just got to make the shots. And in terms of, you know, Kevin Porter, I think that he did make some silly mistakes tonight, as any point guard would, but I do think that we are seeing him grow each and every game. I thought we see him grow tonight. And the thing is, the reason why you should still want to watch the Rockets tonight is because they do have a direction. This is not, you know, fully broken. And you are looking for the night when this will become, you know, when this will start to work. That night wasn't tonight, but it wasn't supposed to be tonight. The Suns are just a bad matchup for the Rockets, even though the Suns started off really slow in the first half. That's why the Rockets were in it, despite turning the ball over as much as they did. That's a turnover machine. That's not much, you know, you can really excuse for that, other than the fact that this team is still really kind of just still figuring each other out. And it's...
Hold on real quick. Did you say this isn't broken?
No, it's not broken. It's not broken.
Oh, my God. This is glass shattered table in a million pieces broken, Jeremy. There is nothing right about this team. Besides Sengun, that is the only piece on this team that consistently has looked good. That's it. This is broken. It's broken. You can't say it's not broken. This is...
Oh, no. Our Rockets, they're broken.
Well, I mean, like,
not on TikTok, Mike.
I have no idea what.
A lot of our listeners would have appreciated that reference, but
okay. Well, I need to get with the times then.
But at this point, look, I still have faith that this is going to work, and it might not necessarily work with how they're getting there, but the pieces are the right pieces. They're just in the wrong order, and they are making adjustments every night. And I don't know if they're making enough adjustments. That might be the problem with this team right now, is they're not making enough adjustments, and they're kind of waiting for Kevin Porter to really kind of get into his own form in order for him to set everyone else up nicely. I think that, you know, that's something I brought up on the last show that I think is still, you know, relevant, is, you know, with Kevin Porter's trying to figure out the point guard position, they clearly believe in him, because if they didn't, then they would have agreed for John Wall to play the season, and they would have signed a bigger facilitator. So they clearly believe in him, and they're letting him learn.
They have the facilitator. They have the facilitator. They don't play him.
Who?
He's DJ Augustine.
No, Mike, I can't deal with this for another episode with you. It's not going
to
happen.
You don't have to, but he's a better option than Kevin Porter Jr. at this point.
No.
How many more games do you want to watch where he has 5+ turnovers, dribbles the ball too damn much, and can't set up his teammates? Because
I'll watch every game if I have to.
Well, they're going to continue. They're going to be 1-12, and they're going to continue on this bullshit path that they're on.
But Mike, it's just not. It will work itself out. The law of averages
100%.
Will eventually work itself out. I don't know how else to just. I just don't know how else.
It's pure speculation. Yeah, it's pure speculation. You just said you wanted them to sign a more of a facilitator. They actually have two on their roster. They're not playing either one of them. That's bad coaching.
Who's the second one?
John Wall.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying, is they believe enough in Kevin Porter that they are not playing either of those two guys, and that is the direction that they're going in. It's, you know, you can say that it's bad, you know, whatever, but that's, you know, I've said it in the last episode, and I want to give our listeners new stuff to talk about. I don't want to have to rehash the things that we talked about in our old episodes that are still relevant now, but I'm going to leave it at this. The way the Rockets are going, they are trying to get these players to learn from their mistakes. And the only way you can make mistakes is if you play on the court. You can't bench those players because then they won't learn through experience. There's two ways of learning, Mike. Your mindset is more of, well, if you play bad, bench them and play somebody else. But in reality, the only players that they're investing in moving forward after this season in the point guard spot is Kevin Porter. So that's why they're playing Kevin Porter at the one as much as they are. And whether that's a smart idea to win a whole lot of basketball games is debatable. But at the same time, too, I think this season, like we've said before, is not about the wins and losses. It's about the development.
But, okay, I'm with you. But let me ask you a very simple question. Who do you think would help progress the development of Jalen Green, Şengün, Jayson Tate more? Kevin Porter Jr. or John Wall? Very simply. Which one?
I think that John Wall would set those guys up a little bit better.
Then them not playing him, and I agree with you, is criminal to this roster. Period. That's where we can leave it. That's all I'm trying to say.
But that's not just on Silas. That's on Stone. That's on, you know, everyone in that building. But the thing is, Mike, that's what I've been saying for two months now. The reason why they're not doing it is because they truly want to put their eggs in Kevin Porter's basket. And, you know, the cons, you know, like the worst case scenario of all of this is what's happening right now. And at the end of the day, the best case scenario, if you play John Wall, is you get a couple more wins. And you're 4-9 instead of 1-12. And to me, that is not enough of a difference in order to, you know, get those guys. But look, I think what's going to happen is, I think when Eric Gordon is traded at the deadline, they're going to try to trade him for a more of a point guard guy. And I think that will ultimately help you know, set these guys up for success. You know, your Greens, your Woods, your Sengun's. But speaking of Sengun, let's talk about him because I thought he had a great night. His first career triple-double, or not triple-double, double-double for him. But the triple-double, who knows? Maybe it's not too far away. But 10 points, 10 boards for him tonight. What did you think of Sengun tonight, Mike?
Played great. I mean, he played at a really high level. You know, he's playing his way into what I believe to be a starting role on this team. The team is better when he's on the court. His ability to find the open man, his ability to drive to the bucket, his shot is looking better and better every night. You know, tonight in his 22 minutes on the court, they were nearly, you know, he played, you know, the Rockets to about even. He was a minus one in 22 minutes, 4 of 6 from the field. He had 10 rebounds. He had 4 assists, you know, and he only had 2 turnovers. And when you're talking about guys on the floor right now, two things. Can you hit a free throw and can you not turn the ball over? And that should dictate who's getting a lion's share of the minutes. But no, I thought Sengun tonight was great. Yeah. I thought it was helped by the fact that DeAndre Ayton did not play tonight. If Ayton played, he could have had 40 and 40 tonight. I mean, I'm being somewhat facetious, but you know what I mean, that the Rockets have no rim protection. And if Daniel Tice on a game like this is going to have 1 rebound, you send his ass to the bench. Period. End of story. Let Sengun play.
I think with Tice
and like Aruba play.
What it is with him is, I think the reason why you're not starting Sengun and Wood yet is because if you start both of them, then you don't have a offensive big man in the second unit, and I think that is ultimately the reason why they're trying to stagger them. But I do think we are getting closer to Sengun reaching that starting five. But we have a lot of speaker requests here tonight. We have a nice, solid crowd here on Spotify Green Room, and I want to try to get to as many of these callers as I possibly can. So we're going to go pretty quickly now. I've got Harvey here first. Hopefully Harvey is still here and he can come up and talk with us. But Harvey, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing tonight? Harvey, you there? Harvey going once.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I hit the mute button.
Right. How you guys? You're good, you're good. How's it going, Harvey?
Oh, man, this is just frustrating, man. The same three things: turnovers, can't hit free throw shots, and the rebounding. We're not good in those categories, and we're not going to win a lot of games. And KPJ is not a point guard. I'm sorry. I'm done with the experiment. The turnovers are just – it's frustrating, man. To have 20 turnovers like this, it's unheard of.
Yeah. It comes back, Harvey, to me that there's no – we haven't talked about this tonight. This team is lost offensively. Like, what are they? What do they do?
Because Kevin Porter is still trying to figure his position out as the point guard.
But that's why you stagger him off of the bench. I'm not saying bench Kevin Porter Jr. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you don't have a leader on the floor, a floor general, you got to find one in order to have an offense. That's why they turn the ball over 20-plus times a game.
I want to say something else. I know this is kind of a little bit further down the road, but as far as the draft goes, you know, the two big men is supposed to be Banchero and Holmgren. Me personally, I don't want the Rockets to have the number one pick because I don't want them to choose between them two. I think they should just get the number two pick and take whichever one they get left over. But we need a big man, and they need to start with Alfred Sengun. Christian Wood is not going to be a part of this team. I'm done with – man, it's a lot of stuff. I can't explain this loss, man. We can at least – we've been in a lot of these games, man. It's just been simple things that we've done to lose games as far as turnovers and not making free throws. That's. But that's just all I want to say, man. That's all I want to say, man. I just want to talk to you guys, man. I listen to the show all the time. Love what you guys doing, man. Going to keep supporting.
We appreciate you, Harvey.
Appreciate that, Harvey. Thank you. All right, and in terms of the Banchero Chet debate, which I'm sure we'll talk about much more down the line. In terms of, you know, because they're going to have to make a decision on Wood. If they end up with a top two pick or even a top three pick, because, you know, Jalen Duren is also another, you know, big man that could be probably a top three, top four pick. And if you're going to be at the top of the draft, they're going to have to make a decision on Wood. And I think Wood's frustration with being part of the offense he knows that he's in a really good position to showcase his value. He is arguably the best player on the team right now, or at least the player that can, you know, has the highest ceiling right now of all the guys. Not necessarily down the line where Jalen and Kevin Porter are, but I think right now Christian Wood knows that he can be the best player on this team and have the best numbers on the team. And I think he knows that if by season's end, if this is not working out with the Rockets are probably going to shop him and try to find a new home for him at the end of the season. And he's going to go to a team that's going to be probably in a better position, and he won't have the ability to, you know, showcase his value, which will lead to his free agency the following summer, and he won't be able to cash in as much as he can. I think he wants to be part of the Rockets because he thinks he knows that that can being part of the Rockets is the best way to, you know, get more value for him and for him to get the most amount of money in his next contract.
Yeah, and if they move him, I God help me if they only move him for draft picks. God help me.
Trade him for a point guard. They're going to have to trade him for a point guard or a facilitator or someone that can cooperate with Kevin Porter and Jalen Green as, you know, a trio. That's I think what eventually they're going to do, and maybe they get a pick on top of it. Who knows? But I'm gonna bring up Alex here. Yeah. I've got Alex Tan come up here. Alex, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Yes, sir.
All right, awesome. You know, I just wanted to preface it a bit and say I had pretty like really low expectations for the Rockets this year. And so like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm more towards 1 in terms of frustration with the team. But I hear a lot of Kevin Porter frustration with Kevin Porter. And I gotta say, I think it's, you know, it's still, it's not much difference than where we were last week in terms of how patient we need to be with Kevin Porter. Because even through this week, until the first half of today's game, Kevin Porter was looking better. I'm not saying he was looking good, but he was definitely weak. And then, the first half was definitely rough. Yeah, I think he had 6 turnovers. All 6 of his turnovers were in the first half, I believe. Or at least 5. I can't remember, but I think there's gonna be halves like that, especially when I will say this in terms of basketball IQ, they have maybe like on court between their players, maybe the lowest basketball IQ in the league, bottom 5. And when you're playing somebody, a defense especially that's run by Chris Paul, yeah, you could say Chris Paul coming out with 7 steals, I would have told you 10. To be honest, at the start of the game. But I think we do still need to have patience with Kevin Porter, because I know it's probably an unpopular unpopular opinion right now, but playing DJ Augustine, so what, Jalen Green can get, what, 2 more open shots, and maybe he hits one, maybe he breaks both a game. That I don't see that really fast-tracking his development. I mean, it was always going to be Jalen Green was going to struggle, because one, he plays at a position that notoriously struggles coming into the league. And that's a pure scoring shooting guard. Oh, just last year of Anthony Edwards. And
I was going to mention, yeah, Anthony Edwards had a
just
really
as bad. If you look at their basketball reference and you look at their first 10 games, you can search out. They're just as bad. And he has a 95th percentile NBA body. Jalen Green has maybe a bottom 20%. Not an explosive, but just like his frame, right? And Anthony Edwards has just as much explosiveness. Right. But Anthony Edwards did really come into his own at the back half of the season. And that's what really we want to look out for Jalen Green, but not really in game 12. I will say his shot, it's been surprisingly, I expected it to be inconsistent. But some of these misses are super, super off. So I don't know if it's just a strength thing that he needs to just build up his strength to be able to consistently hit at the NBA level. But I don't know. Do you guys know, is the G League? The G League's the same distance, right?
Yeah, yes.
Right. So, I mean, it could just be the sample size. So
I agree with that, Alex. I think look, people, it feels like the season's been super long, and I think seasons feel a lot longer when you're losing, but we got to keep in mind, we're not even a month into the season yet. Like, we still have 5 months of this season to go, and I think it feels a lot longer than that, but they've also only played 13 games. That's what, not even a fourth of the schedule yet. So we still have a lot of time, and that's why I'm still very patient with this team, is because I know how many games are left, and I'm, you know, realizing that they're, like, every game is an opportunity, and they have almost 70 opportunities left to be able to, you know, showcase they are improving. And while tonight might have been a step back, I think you're going to see a step forward tomorrow, because, you know, usually when you lose big, you come out the next night with a bit of a different energy. And I know it's maybe a tough matchup tomorrow night against the Grizzlies. It should be interesting to see what John Morant brings, and how, you know, Kevin Porter can kind of, you know, I think he could take a lesson or two from John Morant. He's not as quick as John Morant, but I think the way that John Morant kind of, you know, plays the position, I think Kevin Porter could take a lot out of that. Alex, definitely. we've got a couple more speakers, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go too far, but any last thoughts before I send you back?
Yeah, I mean, just about, you know, having a point guard. I mean, I see a lot of people saying, like, oh, we need, like, a Ricky Rubio type to really help Jalen Green. But what they don't realize is Ricky Rubio was in Minnesota last year, and Anthony Edwards was still terrible for more than half the year. So it's not that simple as just playing, you know, a true point guard next to Jalen Green. It's going to take time no matter what.
I think part of that is also that Ricky Rubio is terrible, but I do get your point.
No, well, whoa.
Ricky Rubio sucks. He's not.
Mike, have you seen what he's been doing? Ricky
Rubio is amazing right now.
Okay, this year, congrats. On the whole, he's not a great player.
Okay, because he was, like, seen as, like, you know, like the Spanish Steve Nash when he came out, and maybe he hasn't been Spanish Steve Nash, but he could do a lot of good for a team like the Rockets right now. I kind of agree with that. We talked a little bit about that on the last show, but Alex, thank you so much for coming up and dropping your takes. Appreciate it. Yep. All right. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to, you know, I do think that a point guard is coming soon, but at the same time, guys, like what Alex said, you know, the sample size is still really small, and even, you know, I'm still going to say it's small, and because it is, I mean, you guys want results. I think it's very clear that Rockets fans want results.
Do you blame them?
At the same time, keep in mind where we were expected to go this season.
Okay. No, I get that. The problem is the process. Like, the process is not being run right, and I think that's what Rockets fans are talking about. And just for context, Ricky Rubio is averaging 13 points and 7 assists a game. He's a nice player.
But Mike, I think the thing with a guy like Ricky Rubio, and I'm not saying Ricky Rubio specifically, but a guy like Ricky Rubio is there to ensure that the ball is not turned over. And
that's my point. You have that guy here. They don't play him.
But Mike, DJ Augustine is not on that same level. Like, you can't just, like, he's not on that level.
He's close. He's close enough.
But Mike,
don't know that because they don't play him. That's the problem.
Mike, okay, but I mean, what would you like? They're playing Josh Christopher over him. Do you think that's a bad move?
I think it's a good move to play him. I think it's obviously to get Christopher minutes ahead of guys like Daniel House, who honestly should be cut at this point because he's awful.
Well, I mean, Daniel House doesn't play the same position.
No, but hold on. My point is that minutes should be staggered more between Augustine and Kevin Porter Jr. Kevin Porter Jr. getting 30 plus minutes with his level of play right now is criminal to this roster. Yes, that's my point.
I think at this point, you know, we can talk about, you know, opinion, and we can talk about facts. And the facts are, this is the direction the Rockets are currently going right now. The Rockets are currently going at a pace where they are preferring to play the guys that are going to be here long term. And I think those guys are getting priority over others. So that is the direction they're going in. And we can say that, yes, we would like them to play this guy more than the other guy, but that's not the direction they're going in. In terms of House, you know, I'll even say it. You know, I've been very patient with Daniel House. We've had an up and down relationship with him, but I am kind of getting to the point now where I'm losing faith, and I really don't know how much more I have on his leash. Like I feel like he needs to step up, or he's gonna lose his place in the rotation, right? Because I think it's only a matter of time when the guys like KJ and Christopher and Nwaba are going to outplay him in practice and make it to where, you know, he's more important to play in games. So yep. Daniel House got to step it up. Otherwise, he's not going to be playing much longer. I don't, because if they're already pulling the leash on Augustine, then my thinking is they're pretty close to pulling it on Daniel House as well.
And real quick, context-wise, Ricky Rubio, career-wise, 11 points and 7 assists. DJ Augustine is at 10 points and 4 assists. They're really not much different. Career statistics over their span in the NBA.
Mike, you can die on this hill.
No, it's not dying on the hill. It's people who are saying
that. Yeah, but you keep bringing it up.
People saying that Rubio is that much better than Augustine. It's simply not
correct. But on the defensive end of the floor, I would take Ricky Rubio.
That's saying a lot, because Ricky Rubio is one of the worst defensive guards in the league.
I don't agree, but okay.
Okay. Hey, you know what? He's playing on a team where they're playing out of their mind right now in Cleveland. 9-5, good for him. But good for Cleveland. They actually play their vets in the correct manner.
Right, I'm gonna bring Mauricio up. He's been very patient down in the audience. But Mauricio, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm here to say, where was this energy of you guys turning on Silas last year? You guys didn't say anything about Silas rotations and stuff last year. But now, since we're starting off bad, you guys want to go after Silas's throat so much. And remember, KPJ hasn't played point guard ever in his life. When he was in Cleveland, he played small forward. And when he got to the Rockets, he played shooting guard. And he hasn't played basketball in a year when he came to Houston. So just give him time to learn a new position and stuff like that.
You're going to go after a guy in his
himself on this one, because I agree with you.
Yeah, you're going to. Okay, first of all, going after a guy in his first season as an NBA coach ever is wrong. Second of all, at this point, you know, in the last 57 games, the Rockets are 5-52. That deserves criticism.
I think I saw it 7-50.
Okay, 7. Sorry.
That's not like a matter.
Whatever, 7-50. That deserves criticism of how he's running his team, who he's putting on the floor. And as it pertains to Kevin Porter Jr. learning a new position, let me tell you, the guys who are good enough figure it out no matter where they're playing. And he's not figuring it out right now. I'm not saying give up on the experiment. What I'm saying is you need to drastically draw back on the experiment and play guys that actually need to be on the court and can help develop guys like Jalen Green, because Kevin Porter Jr. ain't it, my dude.
I understand that, but like I need to know why people want DJ Augustine to play when you guys were advocating last year when we got Jalen Green, like, hey, don't play Wall, because we need to see this KPJ and Jalen Green together. And now, since it's not working, you guys want to tear that down.
Thank you, Mauricio.
I never said don't play Wall. It's stupid to pay a guy $41 million and not play him and actually make him.
I'm not saying you said it, Mike. But I'm saying, like, other people in Rockets, like, the Rockets atmosphere were saying that.
Yeah, because they're not – that's not the right move.
Understood.
If you're not going to play Wall, move him. Get him off of the roster. Do whatever it takes to get him off of the roster. But the fact is, the Kevin Porter Jr. experiment right now is a failing experiment. You have to adjust on the fly, which Silas has shown he cannot do. He's shown it multiple times this season at different points. Playing Daniel House when you're down 25 points in the fourth quarter to Phoenix is stupid. That deserves because to be questioned.
He knows that we're not gonna get back in the game, so he wants to like give them like garbage time to play. This is like basically in the NFL. Like, say you got like a trash player, and you know you're not coming back from a deficit, and you bring
back
put a new guy in and be like, hey, we're not out. We don't want you to out. I know we're down. I don't want you guys to do something big, but I got to play this guy to, like, because I know we're not coming back from this and stuff like that.
That's fair. But to Jonathan's point in the chat real quick, this is not all on KPJ. They're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. He's not a point guard. He's a scorer. That's his role. He doesn't need to facilitate. Get him the ball and go score a bucket. That's what he's best at. He's not a facilitator. He's not a point guard right now.
And he's putting players around him that are also learning on the fly. And I think that when it comes to this whole thing, I think, like, if they said, you know what, Kevin Porter, like, we think you're not a point guard. And if they say, okay, at the end of the season, if Scoot's like, okay, then trade me to a team that does. I do think Scoot will eventually figure this thing out. And he will be a good player in the NBA. I don't think that is the issue. And I do agree with you, Mauricio. I think, and I, if you've listened to any of the episodes, you know, I've been advocating for patience among Rockets Twitter for a while now. And for, you know, Red Nation. But I think the reason why people are frustrated is because we are so used to having a winning basketball team. We've had a winning basketball team, you know, for 15 years now, consecutively. And then before that, we had a winner. And, you know, we're not like the Rock. When you think of the Rockets, you don't think of losing. And I think that's why fans are frustrated, because this is not the Rockets that they know of. And even though it's a different group of players, you know, it's not the team that they grew up with. And they want to win. And I don't blame people for wanting to win, but I also think people need to understand what the expectations of this team currently is right now. And the expectations of the team are, we're going to develop Kevin Porter. We're going to develop Jalen Green, even though we might question as to how they're doing it. To me, I think there's a method to the madness, and I think that they eventually will have a direction where it will start to look that way. But, you know, they've only played 13 games. It's not like this is the team that we're going to see forever. And that's why you should still watch Rockets games, because even if they do lose, they are going into every game likely to lose. But one night, things are going to start to click. And gradually things are going to click over a period of time. And
but this Rockets team isn't that bad, because you see how sometimes they come back into games and sometimes they just can't sustain that momentum. They're not consistent.
They're not that bad. They're the worst team in the league.
Well, they come back in their games. Like, half of the time I tune in, they're down. And then when I come back, they're like up. They're like right close to taking over.
They're
down by 23 and they get back to 8.
They have a lot of pride. I get what you're saying. I think you are, mistaking pride for being good. And you can be bad. You can have a lot of pride, but you can still be bad compared to the rest of the NBA. And I think in terms of where the Rockets are now, I think having a team and having a culture that has guys that are willing to fight through these games. I think tonight was not necessarily a game that is a good example of this, but I think in most of these games so far, they've been fighting till the bitter end. And I think that's a good culture to bring in. And that's something that Silas has brought in that is positive. But at the same time, Silas's strategies, I think, are just slow in terms of their development. But I think it seems slower than it actually is, because the team is losing. And if they were winning, it would make it feel like the development is going by a lot quicker than how it actually is. The team is still developing. It may not be developing as quickly as they could be, because they're not winning these games. That, to me, is ultimately the reason why fans are frustrated and the team is where it is right now. But Mauricio, also, I appreciate you coming up. I've got one more super request down. So before we sign off, appreciate it.
I got one more thing to say. I don't know why you guys want to trade Wood when we get another big. Why don't we just have him come off the bench?
This is too many. Christian Wood's not the kind of guy you put on the bench at this point.
He'll understand.
He's a borderline all-star.
Şengün is going to have to start at some point. Wood is not a kind of guy that you put on the bench. It's just not. And then you're not going to bench the guy that you draft in the top 5.
I understand that. But like yeah. you can send
right.
him
thanks,
to the
thanks for appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Understand.
All right. Thanks, yeah, I've got one last speaker request here from Alex. Alex, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
What's shaking?
How are you?
Good. A couple points to that Wood point from just a second ago. The biggest thing about that that argument is, I mean, why not? If we were gonna shop Wood sometime in the end of the season, I mean, we want to shop him high, right? So why wait until he potentially gets hurt again or anything like that? Anyways, that's just a point. Anyways, to the point of developing these players, I'm curious as to why the Rockets didn't go ahead and just start Şengün. If they're really into developing their young guys, why not give him the keys and I mean, get Tice off the bench or anything like that? What do y'all think?
They want to stagger. Wood and Şengün. That's my best guess.
Yeah, and I think to touch on trading Wood, he's your best player. Uh-huh. Why would you trade him?
I mean, there's no upside
to moving him.
I'm definitely not saying to trade Wood. I'm just saying like I could see that side of the argument. Like if we were to think about that, then we would want to look into. Because his value is so high. Anyways.
Rafael Stone is going to hear some offers from him at the deadline. And look, Rafael Stone should listen to those offers. But at the same time, I do think that he will have – I mean, yes, you know, what could happen is they don't trade him at the deadline in February. He gets injured in March, and then he loses value in the offseason. But I do think that trading in the offseason makes more sense because you don't know where you're going to end up in the lottery because you might end up with the fifth pick. In like they might have the best odds or the second best odds, and if they end up with the fifth pick, they might have to take a guy like Patrick Baldwin, who you could find a way to get Wood in there. Wood still, you know, has value on the team, but if they are in a position where they're in that top two or three and all the bigs are at the top, then I think that's when you truly make a decision there. That's my opinion on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, right. I think why not make Christian Wood a part of the future? There's not a legitimate reason not to.
The only reason is that his contract is only this season and next season.
You need to re-sign him, though. Like, guys like him, guys who can get 17 and 12, do not come around very often, and he chose to be here. Like, what are you telling impending free agents? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know what? We're going to have you here for a couple of years. We're not going to be very good, and then we're basically going to say, there's the door.
You need a Christian Wood archetype, basically. And a guy like Duren or a guy like Banchero is probably more like Christian Wood than any of those guys that at least that I've seen so far. And I've done, you know, minimal research on these guys. But if you get like Banchero, I read on Twitter or something, he's like a younger version of Christian Wood. And so the reason why you get him is because, well, he's the best player in the draft. And you know, if Wood is the casualty of that, he's the casualty of that. But at this point, like I still am very high on Christian Wood. Mike is right in the fact that, you know, you have a guy that is, you know, established, and that's kind of Mike's, you know, theories and Mike's, you know, beliefs when it comes to building a basketball team is you want as much, you know, proven commodity as possible. And it's hard to do that when you're in a rebuild. But I do think like, the way that I see it in a way is like to try to compare it in a way, like Christian Wood is our Karl Anthony Towns. Like he is a guy like Minnesota could blow it up. They were one of the worst teams in the league last year. Karl Anthony Towns is the best player, but you don't trade your best player necessarily just because, and to try to get more picks, you know, you have a proven commodity. You want to keep him. And as long as he's healthy and he's long. And to me, I don't know if he's necessarily done enough to where I would, you know, keep him. If I was given the option of Paolo Banchero, I'd probably take Banchero over Christian Wood right now in terms of just like down the line, ooh, like ceiling.
Ooh. I would 100% agree with that. Yeah.
What?
I mean,
what?
Talk about proven.
In terms of ceiling,
he was Banchero injured has a higher last year and lost so much time.
He's played three college games. How can you say he has a higher ceiling than a guy who's averaging 17 and 12 and he's been in the league less higher than 5 years?
But Mike.
We're talking ceiling.
Ceiling is a different thing than floor. And right
now, I got it.
Floor Wood is definitely better because he's played in the NBA, and like you said, Bunchero has played, you know, three college games. But at this point, that's what rebuilds are about. It's about ceiling, but you do need a guy or two that are that have low floors and that you know have low floors that you can, you know, rely on them. You can't just go in with, you know, a whole, and I think that's why the Rockets are where they are right now, is because a lot of guys they have not established their floors yet. We have a lot of guys that we're hoping get there to their ceiling, and they're every game they go to, they get closer to that ceiling. But right now, the floors are where they're at, and it's why you have a 1-12 basketball team. Anything else, Alex, before we sign up?
Well, I got one more question to ask y'all, and it can just top of your head here. Would the 20-game losing streak this year be worse than the one last year, just as far as fans?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I am going to agree with Mike on that, only because I think the team has more talent this year. And I think even though they are still kind of figuring each other out, you know, last year's losing streak, if you really think about it, Christian Wood was injured for, you know, pretty much the entirety of it. And now we're on what this is. I lost count, but I don't think it's going to be a 20-game losing streak. But if they were to get there, I would say this would be worse. But at the same time, too, like, you know, they can afford to lose right now. So it wouldn't really be that much. And look, the losing streak last season, like that was last season. I don't really care about that. And by the end of this season, when we don't win the playoffs, I don't care about this past season. It's only about moving forward. And streaks and losing streaks shouldn't really matter, because at the end of the day, this game that was tonight is going to be irrelevant in about 12 hours or so. I mean, depending on when you listen to this. But for the Rockets, like right now, they're thinking about this game. They're probably going over a little bit of film. And they're moving to Memphis.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you coming on, dropping your takes.
Appreciate it.
All right. I think this is about time to park the rocket ship. Really happy with the live audience that we've had today, and a lot of different speakers, a lot of great opinions, a lot of good banter tonight. Mike, we haven't done a mic drop in a while. Do you want to do one?
Sure, why not?
All right, Mike, you got 1 minute. Talk anything but the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I think as a whole, we all have to take a step back. And I'm not talking about the Rockets specifically here. I'm talking about fans that want to specifically go after their organizations because they feel like they're doing a bad job, like so early into what is a potential rebuild for their organization. And I'm part of that. I'll be 100% honest. Like, it is a process. And I think it's okay for fans out there to be frustrated, but still support the organization as a whole. And it's either you're a Rockets fan or you're not a Rockets fan at that point, or if you're a Timberwolves fan, or if you're a Hornets fan, or whatever. Like, as a whole, I'm just saying, when you go out there to Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff, keep in mind that the front office and everybody's doing the best job that they can and trying to evaluate these commodities the best that they can. And sometimes it's going to take a lot longer than people like myself will allow. And I think that it's important to keep that top of mind when we're watching these games night in and night out. So that's the best that I can do right now, Jeremy.
I mean, I asked you not to talk about the Rockets, so I'm thankful that you talked about the Miami Dolphins.
Well, okay. Well, if you want to compare NFL resumes, if you want to compare NFL resumes, my team just beat yours. So you know what? I would keep that at bay. I tried to make that like not about the Rockets specifically, but like crazy fans out there that just go to Twitter and Facebook that just throw out just incredibly stupid opinions just drives me bananas.
Hey, look, and the Dolphins are on a win streak.
Yes.
1-2 in a row.
Hey, man.
And you know, maybe the Rockets will win 2 in a row at some point. They should.
Probably not, but I get what you're saying. Hey, Dolphins are only 2.5 games out of the playoffs. So.
Okay. They're only 2.5. Oh, the Dolphins.
Yeah. The Rockets are out.
Rockets are a little bit more out of the playoffs, but you know what? They will win 2 games consecutively this season.
I would take that bet. Yeah, I would take that bet.
Okay.
I will bet you a lunch at some point that throughout this season, the Rockets will not win back-to-back games.
They will not. All right, deal. All right. Rockets, I've got y'all on my bet. We've got 69 games to go, so y'all better win 2 in a row. It could start tomorrow night against the Grizzlies. What are you looking forward to tomorrow night?
man, just another opportunity to get this team out there and get them more minutes and get them more run. I'm excited to see Şengün play tomorrow. I'd like to see KJ Martin get more than 17 minutes. I would like to see more of an offensive cohesion, you know, continuing to try and find an identity, whether you're running this offense to Jalen Green or Christian Wood, you know, getting Wood next to the basket a lot more than out on the perimeter. And I'm excited for a tough test in Ja Morant. I think tomorrow night could be a Kevin Porter Jr., you know, party, if you will. You know, if they allow him to play more free. And, you know, I think tomorrow night could be a very, very fun point guard battle. So that's probably what I'm looking forward to most.
We'll see. I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. You can also head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com. Home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. We back for another episode tomorrow night. Michael Brown on the mic for that one. I may be available too, question mark. I'm not sure yet, but I'll have to. I live day to day. Like, I really don't know what I'm going to be doing that day until that day. So you might hear from me tomorrow. You might hear from just Mike, but you'll hear from one of us or both of us tomorrow night. We'll be here right after the game. And yeah, we've got a lot of fun Rockets basketball, hopefully in our future. Thank you to our live audience here at Spotify Green Room. And thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Till next time, go Rockets.